Our scripture for today comes from the prophet Isaiah in the 6th chapter, reading verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphims were in attendance above him. Each had six wings, with two that covered their faces and two that covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blocked out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to the people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lay waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate." May God add his blessing to this, his holy word. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we pray that in this hour that you would open our minds, open our hearts, and open our souls, and may all that is said, heard, and understood this day be pleasing to you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray all of these things. Amen. So, the last slip of paper for this congregational questions session had to do with true worship, knowing we are before God, and then asked two questions: what does it feel like, and what is the experience like? Well, in our scripture for today, the prophet Isaiah He's having a vision where he is standing outside of the temple in Jerusalem, and he's able to look into the temple past the walls, and he looks into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant is kept. Now, the Holy of Holies is where God would come down and manifest between the two angels whose wings are outstretched, and they're facing the middle of the ark's lid. And only the high priest was allowed in the holies of holies. And yet, here's Isaiah looking into the holy of holies, and he sees God seated high on a throne. And he sees that the robe of God flows down over the throne, over the Holy of Holies, goes out and fills the entire temple from wall to wall. And above God, Isaiah sees a number of seraphs. And these are the highest level of angels. And the name means burning one or to burn. And it is said that these angels burn in love to God and zeal for his glory against sin. And so they are constantly crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory." Now Isaiah gets a little bit freaked out by what he is seeing before him. And quite frankly, I can't say I believe him. I can't say that I fault him, excuse me, for getting a little freaked out. I mean, if we were to walk into this sanctuary and seeing God sitting on a throne with his robes covering this entire sanctuary, and two angels with six wings, two over their eyes, two over their feet, and two flapping and allowing them to fly, circling around, going, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I mean, that would freak any of us out. It freaked Isaiah out, I think, a little bit, because he was able to see into the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest was able to go. And Isaiah, seeing all of this glory and all this majesty, realizes just how unworthy that he is, crying out, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then a seraph takes a coal from the altar, touches it to his lips, and says that his guilt is gone and his sins are blotted out. And the last part of this is God saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for me?" To which Isaiah answers, "Here am I. Send me." And God tells him to go and do what I ask you to do. So the question this week had to do with true worship. And there's a lot of sermons in this passage today from Isaiah. But what we are going to consider today is, what does true worship actually look like? What does it feel like? What should the experience of true worship, what should it be like? Now, what does it look like? Well, during worship, we sing our praises to God. We sing hymns. We give God glory because he is good. He's good to us. We give our supplications to him. We pray to him and give him our joys and our concerns. So, you know, it would stand to reason that much like Isaiah, we are standing before God in all of his glory and all of his power. But let me ask you a question. When you're in worship, where do you see God? If you're like me, you think of God being up on his heavenly throne, looking down upon all of us in various churches around the world that are worshiping him. We don't think of him looking at us from the front of First Presbyterian Church of Pulaski, in our actually being in this place. We don't think of him of being seated on an elevated throne where our communion table is. We think that he's, again, he's looking down upon us. And the act of switching from God being in heaven to being here in this church, physically being in front of us, changes our one's perception of worship. To me, it's kind of like when you're standing before your Father for whatever reason, and his full and undivided attention is focused on you, waiting to see what you are going to do next. And we all know that. It's not necessarily from our fathers. It could be our mother. When their total undivided attention is on you. And whether they mean to or not, those eyes seem to pierce to your very soul. Knowing that God's full and undivided attention is on us during worship kind of makes worship perhaps a little more intense and heightens its value to a certain extent. Knowing that we are actually standing, seated, worshiping before God during worship affects, or it should affect, how we feel. So, again, when you're standing before a parent, in my case, it was usually my father, and I've got his, and he's given me his full undivided attention, and he is waiting to see all of a sudden, all of my insecurities would start to come out, and I start thinking of all of the things that I did that were incorrect. And Isaiah felt this when he realized that he was standing before God, actually standing before the Lord of Israel. All of his unworthiness, all of the improper ways that he lived, all the improper ways of his community came crashing down upon him. And he realized what he actually was. And yet, he continues to stand in the presence of God. Now, tell the truth to yourself. How many times do we feel uncomfortable and unworthy when we come into worship? How many of you felt uncomfortable walking into this sanctuary? How many, I should say, of us felt unworthy? Probably not very much. Perhaps it would be of a value to approach worship with a bit of uncertainty, with a bit of discomfort and unworthiness, because it serves to remind us that we're not perfect, and really, we have no business in the world standing before God. But the good thing is, God wants us to worship before him. God wants us in his presence. So what happened to Isaiah when he expressed his unworthiness? One of the seraphim touched him with a live coal from the altar and basically said, "Isaiah, your guilt is gone, your sins are forgiven, and you have been made worthy to be in God's presence." Now, there are a lot of theologians and scholars that have said that this live coal from the altar that was touched to Isaiah's lips is a representation of Jesus, through whom our guilt is removed, our sins are forgiven, and we have been made worthy to be in the presence of God. While individuals may have different experiences in worship, there are shared parts of that experience that we all have. I mentioned before, coming into worship, we should remember that we are not worthy of being before God. We're sinners, and we got no business being before the Creator of the universe. Doing this puts us into a certain frame of mind that I would put forward makes for purer worship. Grateful worship. Humble worship. Being reminded that God wants us to be in His presence, wants us to worship before Him, lift up our prayers, and that He wants to forgive us for the ways that we have let Him down. And then, when we have given glory to God, given Him our prayer concerns, our joys, and we have been reminded of what Christ has done, when we leave worship, we, like Isaiah, should want to go out and to do what God wants us to do. Since we have been reminded of all of the things that God has done for us, all of the sacrifices that He has made simply because He wants to allow us before Him, we should, out of gratitude, be willing to go and do for God, to be His presence here on earth, to be the physical manifestation of the love of God, the grace of God, and the forgiveness of God. Remembering that wherever we worship, whether it is in this sanctuary, another sanctuary, whether it is at a church picnic or something other than that, we need to remember that God is before us. And this can seem a little bit daunting. It's scary. But I would say, let that change our attitude. Let it lead us to a purer, a truer walk and relationship with God. And in the end, that relationship is what God really wants for us. Amen.